Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today. Use the promo code THEGAME. And hey, the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, presented by Gary Forrest Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, is this Wednesday. It is tomorrow. So if you'd like to support Souls for Souls, then check out the silent auction items or make a donation to visit thegamenashville.com/golf for more information. We'll be out at Hermitage Golf Course tomorrow. We'll be doing all of our shows from Hermitage Golf Course tomorrow. Michelle and I will be on from 2 to 6. We've got a full lineup, a kind of a funky lineup tomorrow, but it's all for a good cause. So come out to Hermitage Golf Course tomorrow. I think it's supposed to be beautiful. Come hang, play some golf. It'll be a great time. Looking forward to it. But we just had Trevor Maddich on, ESPN college football analyst, and he's been in the league. He's been there before. There's been a bunch of stories that have come out in the NFL over this offseason of players getting suspended for illegally wagering on games. So this is my understanding of the CBA, of the NFL rules, and if I'm incorrect, somebody please correct me. My understanding is players can bet on anything except the NFL and except in NFL buildings. So that's facilities, that's stadiums, that's team planes, that's anything owned by the NFL or an NFL entity. Yet there have been several players that have been busted for either wagering on NFL games or wagering in facilities. Like Jameson Williams, for example, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. He is suspended for 6 games this upcoming season for wagering in the Detroit Lions facility. And now the latest story in that, this came out yesterday afternoon. Isaiah Rogers, Indianapolis Colts corner, is being investigated by the NFL for violations of the league's gambling policy. And per this report on ESPN.com, this put out by Stephen Holder and David Purdom, there's thousands of illegal wagers made by Isaiah Rogers. Wagers on Indianapolis Colts games, wagers made within the facility. And I'll be completely honest with everybody, no offense to Isaiah Rogers, I've never heard of him before. Not that that matters, but still. I mean, fairly juicy story for a guy I've never heard of before. Your thoughts on that, Adam. I have thoughts, but I want to get your thoughts on not just Isaiah Rogers and the thousands of wagers that he has made, but this kind of becoming a trend throughout this offseason in the NFL.
Well, I believe to answer your first question, you had it correct that basically the rules are do not bet on football if you are a football player. And if you are going to place a bet on a sport that's not football, do not do it at a team facility, which, as you said, can extend to opposing stadiums, to team charters, etc. So that's right. Clearly, the issue is that either the NFL has not been clear enough with the players to make, to share this information, to disclose this information, or the people in charge of the players, specifically the coaches, are not doing a good job of disseminating this information. So clearly, there is some sort of gap between the policy and how it's being disseminated to the players, because I don't think that, if it was an isolated incident, like if Isaiah Rogers was the only player we had heard of, that this is the first we've heard of a player betting on football,
right?
Then you could say, well, it's an isolated incident. Maybe he didn't pay attention.
Or maybe he's a doofus.
But this is far from the first issue of this particular problem. So, there seems to be some sort of messaging issue in the NFL about educating players about what they can and cannot do.
And I do think that is part of the problem. But I heard, I believe, and I don't want to, incorrectly put this on somebody. I believe it was maybe Chase today or Michelle. And they were talking about how betting is so accessible and the accessibility is part of this. And I think that's giving these players that are illegally wagering too much credit, because there are a lot of things that are really easy to do that you just don't do because it's against the law. It's really easy to get hammered and then go behind the wheel of a car, but we don't do that because that's against the law and that is stupid. If you cannot place a bet on an NFL game, or more specifically, the team that you play for, which I think is kind of common sense, right? Like that should be pretty well understood that if you are a player for the Indianapolis Colts in the National Football League, you cannot place money and wager on those games. I mean, that feels like it's pretty fair and should be well understood. So it doesn't matter how accessible it is. You can pull up your phone and do a whole bunch of things that you probably shouldn't do, but you don't do them because they're against the rules. It's not about the accessibility. Just don't do it. Just don't bet on games. It's really easy to just not bet on them. As easy as it is to pull up your phone, to open up your app, your sportsbook app, and place a wager, it's even easier to just not do it. And we just spoke with Trevor Maddich, and he said, when you've got that much to gain and that much to lose, it's just stupid to put that at risk. And I 100% wholeheartedly agree with that. What's worth it? Really? Is it really worth it for you to place $50 on a Colts game when you have your entire career and an entire contract that's up in the air because of it? I have never heard of Isaiah Rodgers. Maybe that's on me. But if I'm the Colts and it comes out that he has wagered on these games and the NFL bans him for a year, or suspends him for a year, it's really easy for me if I'm the Colts to just go ahead and cut him. So he's placing his entire career at risk for what? A couple $1,000?
The Athletic had a story, I think it was yesterday or today, where in part they interviewed multiple players anonymously from different, you know, different backgrounds in terms of how long they've been in the league, their standing, whether they're a starter, backup, practice squad, et cetera. And there are multiple questions, but one of the questions that was asked was, did you know that players are not allowed to place a sports bet on team property, which includes places like team planes and hotels? Player one, I don't recall seeing signs that said no gambling on team property. I'm pretty sure a lot of guys have actually broken that rule. Player two, no, I didn't know you can bet on other sports outside of any, no, I didn't know you can bet on other sports outside of anything team related, like any team facility or anything. I guess that's legal. That's what I found out. Player three, when I came into the NFL, it wasn't even possible to bet from the facility. That wasn't something that was actually possible until the last 4 to 5 years as more states have legalized it. Do you go to the app store and just download these apps? It is not something that I've ever done because it was super illegal. It wasn't in a gray area where you can get an app and you can bet on sports from here or from there. That never existed. So clearly, as I said, it just feels like there's some sort of messaging issue here, mm-hmm. whether it's how the NFL is telling the teams to disseminate this information, whether it's from the Players Association, whether it's from just the players not paying attention. Like, there are players who don't typically bet, so maybe this doesn't apply to them, and maybe one day they decide, you know what, maybe I'll give it a try. I'm inundated with all these commercials about FanDuel and points bet and all this other stuff, so I'm just going to try it with this risk-free bet. And they get in trouble because they weren't paying attention to the rules. So yeah. It really just seems like an issue of, you know, what is it going to take the NFL to get this through to people? And it really seems like it's, you know, the suspensions. Like, you would think that after Calvin Ridley missed an entire season because he bet on the NFL, that should be enough. But it clearly wasn't because more players got in trouble.
And that article that you're referencing, The Athletic, was wild. My jaw dropped when I was reading what some, not just rookies in the NFL, but like 7, 8, 9, 10 year veterans in the NFL were saying about the gambling rules in the NFL and really how it's taught. And I want to get into that coming up next, and really where the Titans come into this as well. So we'll get into that coming up next, plus your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan in for Jared Stillman today. 1025-1063 The Game.
I'm not sure if you're aware there's an unnamed Colts player who apparently there's gambling tied to him. If you are aware and you've seen that, does that make you go back and
I touched on this last week pretty extensively.
Right, but I mean, that's happened since then. This is something new since then.
I'm sure he didn't bet since the time that I talked about it.
You made aware of it since then. Made aware,
yeah. I got a phone just like you, and we talked to the players extensively about what our responsibility is, and we'll have part of this mini camp is education throughout the league. You know, we get some extra time, so that's what we're going to do here. As soon as I finish up with you guys is start some of those presentations. That we have, you know, we have a rookie program that we hit every day, and then there'll be some things for the entire team that we'll have to hit. So that'll be something that we'll cover.
awfully sassy from Mike Vrabel there. My goodness.
You don't often see, well, maybe I missed it, but you don't often see Mike Vrabel get sassy with Teron.
Yeah. You know,
he usually saves it for Paul Kaharski.
You can be mean to PK all you want. Don't be mean to TD.
Yeah.
Mike? But anyway, that was Mike Vrabel earlier today at Titans minicamp on the latest news, just the next player in the NFL that is being investigated for violating the league's gambling policy. Isaiah Rogers, Indianapolis Colts corner, is being investigated. Apparently thousands of wagers that he placed against the league's gambling policy. And I just think that is absolutely wild. But Adam, before the break, Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan, in for Jared Stillman today. Before the break, you referenced an article in The Athletic, and this article is absolutely wild. Kalen Kaler of The Athletic put out an article, and the headline is NFL Players on Gambling Policy and Suspensions. Quote, that could have been any one of us. And just to give you a little peek into what this article has to say, she talked to several different players around the NFL about the rules, the gambling rules. And the rules are you can't place a wager on an NFL game, which I feel like is pretty obvious. And you cannot place a bet on anything in NFL facilities. So the team facilities, stadiums, team planes, etc. One player said, quote, I had no idea. I don't think any player knows about that. That is so specific. If players know about that, then kudos to them. And that was a player with 7 years of experience. Another player, a 9-year NFL veteran, quote, I thought that you couldn't bet on anything during the NFL season. I didn't really look into it beyond that. Another player who's been in the league for 10 years says, I don't even know what the rule is or when the rule changed or the fine print on what you can or can't gamble on. Holy moly. I'm shocked that there are that many players in the league that have been in the league for as long as they have that don't know about this when the implications are as serious as they are. I mean, the Detroit Lions, their wide receiver room is essentially decimated because they had players violate the league's gambling policy. This seems like a really big deal and something that's really serious for it to just be glazed over in minicamp and training camp or whenever it is. But when I'm reading this, I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, I hope the Titans are touching on this. My goodness, I hope the Titans players know about these rules, because I think it's unfortunate for any player on any team to have to serve a suspension because of this. But it's the rules. It is what it is. But let's just say, hypothetically, so to speak, Derrick Henry places a bet on the Grizzlies at the Titans facility and that comes out. That is detrimental to the Titans season, and it's something that could be avoided so easily. So I'm reading this in shock of how NFL teams aren't taking this more seriously and just hoping that the Titans have touched on it. And of all of these players that have come out, or if players that the NFL has come out about that they're investigating, that a Titans player isn't going to be one of them.
One of the questions that was asked in that story was, has your team done more to educate you on the policy since the April suspensions? And one player said, they put informative sheets on our locker. They just cleared up the rules, and that may have come from the PA. I didn't really look at it. I don't sports bet, so it didn't have any relevance to me. Well, you know, how many times do you get like a piece of paper placed on your desk or when you were in school on your locker?
Yeah, and you just throw it
away. Cares. Yeah. But, you know, one player said they've definitely clarified it a lot more with the material they gave us. Everything was pretty much the same from last year. They just made a bigger deal with the whole gambling thing in general. They threw some examples out there and said they can track the platforms like track logins and locations so you can get caught digitally now. Like, that's the thing is, you know, if you're on the team Wi-Fi in the facility and you place a bet, that's a record. Like, they have that. Like, it's very, like, is it 1984, like, going on there?
Right,
but
yeah.
It's
the NFL's always watching.
Right. But that's exactly it, is that, you know, there's no safe space to do this. You can't get away with it. And, you know, there was an agent interviewed at the end of the story. He said, I have a player who has said to me, I bet from the facility $3 or $5 bets on other sports. He said, what do I do? I said, don't volunteer anything, but if somebody asks you, you have to be honest, they likely have evidence. So it's just, even if it's something as small as, you know, $5, you know, on an over under. I am not a betting man at all. I don't know if this is something to admit. I have never placed a bet on a sporting event in my life.
Ooh.
So it's not something that's for me. I just, you know, even like if I'm at a casino, you know, I'm one of those people that like takes out like $50 and it's like, this is what I'm betting. And when I lose it, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to keep going to the ATM or anything like that. So
probably a good thing.
Yeah. So I don't take those risks, but you know, something as small as $5 can get you in trouble. And even, you know, as the agent said, you don't lie about it. If you get caught, don't lie about it, even if it's small, because it's against the rules. So yeah, it just seems like there is this idea that ignorance is bliss, you know, in the sense that ignorance is not an excuse. If you don't know the rules, you can still get in trouble. Not knowing the rules is not an excuse.
Exactly. And when players don't know the rules and do get in trouble, I can't only blame the player. I also kind of have to blame the team as well. Like, what did you do? What was your part in making sure that this didn't happen? Because the team and the people whose job it is to inform the players of the rules, they are going to be the ones that have to suffer in that player's absence. I know that the Detroit Lions had four players, one of them being Jameson Williams, and they had three other players that are suspended for the year. They just went ahead and cut those players. So those players that you have to replace, players that you're going to be without, players that you're not going to be able to count on, and that's just annoying and totally avoidable. You know, when you lose a player to an ACL tear, yeah, that's incredibly detrimental to your team, but that's unavoidable and you can't blame anyone for it. When a player is suspended because of wagering, you absolutely 100% have fingers to point. And the fact that there are this many players in the league, in this article in The Athletic, that have no idea about it, it's a problem. And NFL teams very clearly are going to suffer because of it. And I just hope, as angry as Mike Vrabel was answering those questions about wagering, that they've done their due diligence within the Titans facility to avoid something like this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so simple. Don't bet on football and don't bet on other sports while you're here. Like, there are no rules against...
It's not that hard.
Right. There are no rules against betting on other sports. If you're at home on your couch, if you're Derrick Henry and you're at home on your couch and you're watching the NBA Finals and you want to place a bet on the Denver Nuggets on your couch, in your house, you're allowed to do that. That's your prerogative. That's not against the rules. Just wait till you get home. You don't have to play. Like, that's the thing. If Derrick Henry places the bet at the cafeteria, that's against the rules. If you place it in the comfort of your own home, that's not against the rules. You can wait. That's all I'm saying. I'm just using Derrick Henry as an example, but that's as simple as it gets. Just don't do it when you're at work, basically.
And you might think that's ridiculous, but those are the rules. And I honestly do think that the NFL is being pretty lenient letting players wager at all. Because the NFL could totally come out and say, no betting whatsoever. And that would make their lives a whole lot easier. You wouldn't have to do any geo-tracking, wouldn't have to do any of the CSI FBI work that the NFL is doing. Because if you see any sort of transaction on a sports book, they can flag it. I think it's being fairly lenient letting players gamble at all. Just don't do it on NFL games and don't do it in the facility. Those are the rules. You've got a bunch of thoughts on this. We are right to your phones coming up next. Anything is on the table. The NFL gambling policies, LIV Tour merging with the PGA Tour, Titans minicamp. Everything's on the table. Right to your phones coming up next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Skip, that ain't a mistake. When you place this, that's not a mistake. When you continuously do something over and over, that is a conscious act.
I'd say.
Dumb dumb. You can't bet on NFL games if you are a current NFL player.
That has been made harshly clear. Like fear of God clear,
yes,
to every player.
Okay, if you're a golfer, Skip, golf is the one sport you can bet on yourself. Phil can go bet on himself. Brooks Koepka or DeChambeau, you know what? I'm going to put $100,000, I'm going to win the Masters.
Okay.
You can do that.
Because it wouldn't get you anywhere to throw the game.
Yeah, that's
because
you.
Because it's your game.
Thank you.
Okay.
Skip, I'm confused. And I get, Skip, I get it. He's making what, $500,000-$700,000? What the hell is he doing? Supplementing his income?
I love that from Shannon Sharpe on Undisputed on FS1. What are you trying to do? Supplement his income? They make a fair point. Make a very fair point. Just don't do it. It is a conscious act to do it. And if you are unaware of the rules, that is both on the player individually and honestly, I got to place some blame on the teams as well. Because I don't think that the players are actively seeking out the rules or have a copy of the CBA in their pocket to say, let me make sure what I'm doing is within the bylaws and the rules of the NFL. It does seem to me fairly obvious that you cannot wager on NFL games. But still, I do have to place a little bit of the blame here on some of these individual players, because yet another player is being investigated by the NFL for violating the league's gambling rules, the Colts' Isaiah Rodgers, a cornerback for the Indianapolis Colts, who is being investigated by the NFL. Let's get to your phones on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Shane in the Borough texts in, says, the ones that don't know anything about the gambling rules are probably the ones that don't gamble to begin with and just don't care what the rules are because the rules are irrelevant to them. Maybe that's the truth. I mean, with anything in life, if somebody puts forth something to you that you think is just completely irrelevant or not a path that you would cross down by any means, then you probably just wipe it from your memory or from your thought at all. But these veteran players are the ones that are in the same meetings, that are in the same classrooms as players that may gamble or do gamble, and they still didn't know. And I would assume that these are things that are being talked about in classrooms or in meetings, if at all. Maybe it is just a flyer and you crumple it up and throw it away. But pleading, you know, naivety, I don't think holds up in a court of NFL law.
No, and one of the players that in the story we previously referenced said that there were, you know, pamphlets or something left in his locker and he didn't really pay attention to it because he doesn't bet on games, so it doesn't matter to him. But, you know, I don't remember, I don't know if this came out or what, but I don't remember if the players that have been caught, if their gambling habits have been disclosed. Like, was this the first time they've done it? Was this the first time they've experienced, you know, have used the apps? So that would be interesting. I think when Calvin Ridley's suspension ended, I think he did a story on the Players Tribune where, you know, said he was, you know, battling anxiety and depression, and he sort of used the gambling as an escape, and it obviously cost him a year of his career. But, you know, I don't know, unless I'm missing something, I don't know if the gambling habits of the people who have been caught have been disclosed. So I don't know if those players are used to it and just, you know, are used to doing it and were just doing it hoping they wouldn't get caught and they eventually did. Or if it was a first-time person who said, yeah, you know, why not? I'll give it a shot. Didn't know the rules because, as the texter said, we didn't apply to them previously and then they got in trouble.
Right. Yeah, you can't just say, oh, I didn't know the rules. They're going to say, okay, we'll learn the rules next time. We'll see you next year. Thanks. Thanks for hanging around. Chuck texts into the text line. Our phone lines are driven by WisconsinHunter.com. Says, but you don't think it's hypocritical for the NFL to take money and have all of those ads during their games for betting sites? Fair point. I understand where you're coming from. In the XFL, the NFL's partner league, so to speak, there are spreads on the score bugs. You cannot escape sports betting commercials when watching an NFL game. I mean, the New Orleans Saints play in the Caesars Superdome. I mean, like the NFL that has tried to stay away from sports betting for so long has the floodgates are open and they have fully embraced it. But the NFL is not saying that players can't gamble. The NFL is not saying that these players can't use sports books. They're just saying, hey, gamble on whatever you want. Just can't be the NFL. Hey, gamble wherever you want. It just can't be in NFL facilities. And in that same breath, isn't like Papa John's like the official pizza of the NFL? Or like Zaxby's is like the official chicken finger of the SEC? There's always like official foods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because the NFL partners with Domino's doesn't mean that NFL players go home and eat Domino's all day long. It's like just because the NFL has a partnership or the New Orleans Saints have a partnership with Caesars Sportsbook doesn't mean that New Orleans Saints players can go all willy-nilly on the Caesars Sportsbook all they want.
You think the NFL will come down really hard on this Colts guy, Rodgers?
It sounds like, just from what I read in this article, it sounds like he placed several different bets on the Colts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's bad.
I don't know if the other players implicated have bet on their own games. This seems like the first time that the player has bet on his own games.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he's not, I don't know how often Isaiah Rodgers played. But
I think he started 9 games I saw last season.
Okay, so he started half a season. I mean, you know, it could have been just like, hey, we don't know what the bets were, but it could have been like, I'm confident that we are going to win today, so I'm going to put money on us to win. But they don't know that. I mean, it could be like, you know, maybe the guy maybe the receiver.
Over under on some yardage.
Yeah.
Who you're going up against.
Yeah, exactly. So you're telling me that if Treylon Burks gets 2 touchdowns against me today, I could make some money. I'll do it.
You don't know that. Tear a hammy today.
Because, yeah. Like, you know, there's been speculation of they're saying this guy could get like a lifetime ban from the NFL. Like, is that a possibility? Would that be too harsh?
Honestly,
I think it would be, I don't know if a lifetime ban, but maybe a couple of years, which could be a lifetime for him because he's a fringe player to begin with.
Because I think the max we've had so far is 1 season,
yes.
Correct?
Ridley was a full season.
And maybe some of the Lions guys.
They were half a season or quarter or third of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Jameson Williams, he got six.
6 games.
Because he didn't bet on the NFL, but he bet in the Lions facility. And so the this others is like were betting on the NFL.
Kind of next level. As far as betting on your own team,
I think.
I don't know. I don't know if a lifetime ban is too much. Would they go down that road? Do they want to open up that can? Set a precedent.
So this is the story. This is the story from,
because NFL is obsessed with precedent.
Obsessed.
So the story from April about players being suspended for violating the gambling policy. So. Lions wide receiver Quintez Cephas, I'm sorry, Lions safety C.J. Moore and Washington Commanders defensive end Shaka Tony sidelined for the entire 2023 season and may petition for reinstatement afterward. Stanley Berryhill and Jamison Williams, 6-game suspension, though they will be able to participate in offseason and preseason activities, including preseason games. So that's 3 indefinite suspensions and 2 third-season suspensions.
I don't think a lifetime ban is out of the realm of possibility in the slightest. And honestly, I don't think it's an overreaction. The NFL was so reluctant to embrace sports betting for as long as it did because of things like this. Because of players wagering on their own games and intentionally throwing games. And no, you know, this corner for the Indianapolis Colts, Isaiah Rodgers, is not going to be the difference in a Colts win or loss. But still, that's serious. Like, to your point, Adam, you know, I am going up against Treylon Burks today. Maybe I'm feeling a little bit slow. Yeah, but putting a wager on Treylon Burks over touchdowns, that's the NFL's biggest fear. So if the NFL wants to continue to make money off of these sports books, and I'm sure they're making a killing off of all of these sports books, ads and all these sports book sponsorships, then they're going to have to do every single thing in their power to avoid things like this happening. The sports books don't want things like this happening, games being compromised. The NFL doesn't want this to happen either. So I think in order for the NFL to really get their message conveyed of the seriousness of all of this, I think lifetime ban really is the only solution.
We have a couple of texters referencing Pete Rose, who of course received a lifetime ban from baseball. Although he did deny the charges at the time by basically taking the equivalent of a no contest plea, he eventually he published a memoir in which he confessed to it and said that he always bet on the Reds to win.
Go Reds!
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I would like to know the scope of how many bets this player was placing, how often and how much. Because if it's a few small bets, I think there was a story I read today that said there was, you know, they were mostly smaller bets, mm-hmm. but there was like maybe 1 4-figure bet. Like
I think
low,
I saw that too.
Low
yeah.
four
yeah.
figure bet.
Mm-hmm.
That does, like to me, I don't know if that seems like a lifetime ban worthy. I mean, like I said, let's say he gets suspended for 2 seasons. For a player on the fringe, that's effectively a lifetime ban because if you're not a great player, what team is going to take a chance on you after you've been out of the league for 2 years? So, you know, does it need to be a lifetime ban? I don't know.
How much would that actually deter, you know, if they want to throw the hammer down? If that would solve the issue? Doubtful, but...
And how much does the NFL want to get into the nitty-gritty with all of this? Of, okay, if your bet is $2,500 or less, then your ban is 5 years. You know, if your wager is $10,000 or more, then it's 10 years. You know, I don't think the NFL wants to open themselves up to that much gray. I think, and also, too, with the position. I know that Isaiah Rodgers probably is not the face of the Indianapolis Colts, but you should approach him the exact same way that you would with Anthony Richardson or with any other, or Jonathan Taylor, any other player on the field. Because I don't think that the NFL wants to get into, okay, if you've started in 12 or fewer games, then your punishment will be less than a starting quarterback. I don't think they want to enter into that. I think they want to make a point that this is serious. I think they did that with Calvin Ridley, a year suspension. That's massive. I think they tried to prove a point then. But placing multiple bets on your own team, that is the number one no-no. And that's the only way I think they can get their point across. Because, yeah, to that point, what, a 15-year ban? What is that going to do? He's going to be 50. I don't know how old he is. He's going to be 40, 50 years old by the end of it. That's effectively the end of your NFL career. Wild. Wild. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get back into your calls, your texts, your thoughts on this. Plus, coming up next, I think somebody got a little bit screwed. We'll get into that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, you can join 1025 and 1063 The Game tonight for the night before Charity Writers Round featuring Saving Able, benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission is $20 with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new venue, The Ballad East, next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors open at 6 p.m. Get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. It's going to be a blast, so head over to East Nashville. All of the action gets started in just about 10 minutes. Also, just a reminder, our Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament is tomorrow at Hermitage Golf Course. I don't believe it's too late to get a team together or to donate, so head to thegamenashville.com for more information about that going on tomorrow. The NFL is investigating Colts cornerback Isaiah Rodgers for a possible violation of the league's gambling policy. And this is just yet another player in the line of five or six players that have already gotten their suspensions for violating the league's gambling policy. Four or five players from the Detroit Lions, including Jameson Williams. And there was an ominous report that came out a couple weeks ago that said this is just the beginning. There were several players, veteran players, that spoke with The Athletic that said, hey, look, I had no idea what these rules were. And I would be surprised if anybody in the league would know these rules. And I just hope and pray that Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, all the coaches, all the people in the Titans front office have done what they needed to do to make sure, say, hey, you can gamble. Don't do it here. Don't do it on a football game. NFL game, rather. It's not that hard. Not that difficult.
Doesn't seem that hard, but clearly it's not resonating with everybody.
Clearly. We've got some more thoughts in our text line. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. LD from McMinnville says it can be an addiction. Gambling, he means, same as alcohol and smoking are addictive. That's true. Mm-hmm. And I hope that if a player is suffering from gambling addiction, because I know how difficult and draining of a disease that is, I hope that they are getting the help that they need. I hope that their individual teams are helping them get the help that they need in order to overcome their gambling addiction, period. That's the end of story. It is still against the rules. Gambling is still against the rules. Another texter texts in and says, I hope it's not poor communication, like when you're getting in trouble with the HOA or something, and they're like, oh, a sign was posted. Like, who reads those? I get that. I totally understand. When you miss a post from the HOA and you forget to put your trash cans out on Wednesday instead of Thursday, what you have to live with is a smelly garage for the next week and an overflowing trash can. When you don't read the fine print in the NFL rules and you ignore the fact that you can't place a bet in the weight room, in the facility, then you will be suspended for 6 games. And then you see the difference there. So it's not just as simple as, oh, hey, my bad. Yeah, I didn't read the rules. That's on me.
Yeah, that
you'll get suspended.
That doesn't work as a defense.
It does not. It absolutely positively does not. One texter texts in and says, sexually assault 20 women, you get a 10-game suspension. You mess with the NFL's money, you get a lifetime ban. Touche!
Yeah. Don't argue with that. Can't argue with that.
It's a bad look. It is a bad look for the NFL. However, and that's what the texter is referencing, is Deshaun Watson and the stories that came out about Deshaun Watson, and that was very much so a legal matter. And the way that the NFL has dealt with domestic violence, with sexual assault, with legal matters, honestly, is fairly light. But I don't think that we can really, as fair of a point as it is, and as obvious as a comparison as it is, as hypocritical as a comparison as it is, I don't think it's really fair to compare it. Because the United States law and the law of the National Football League are two very different things. The United States law doesn't say that you can't bet on an NFL game. The NFL law does. The law of the NFL can uphold the law of the NFL in a court of law in the NFL, and that's what we're dealing with here. With Deshaun Watson, you're dealing with actual law in actual court, and it's different, unfortunately. It's hypocritical. It's gross. It looks – I understand the look. I'm with you. I agree with you. Any final thoughts on that, Adam?
I want to know who apparently got screwed, which you teased
somebody
before the break.
Somebody got screwed. Tennessee baseball got screwed. I will say that. Tennessee baseball got screwed by not hosting a super regional. So it was between Southern Miss. Southern Miss defeated Penn in the Auburn regional yesterday, and it was announced this morning that Tennessee baseball and Southern Miss will play in Hattiesburg. Now, I talked about this yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. I was just talking like how Tennessee baseball was going to host a super regional because I thought it was kind of a given. The NCAA committee uses merit and potential for revenue as driving factors of which schools will be hosting a super regional. If you hosted a regional, you won your regional, you host a super regional. That's easy. That's obvious. In the case of Southern Miss and Tennessee, it gets a little bit more difficult. Both were 2 seeds. Both won their regionals. Have similar overall records. Their stadiums have a similar capacity. I think Lindsey Nelson Stadium holds like 300 more people than Southern Miss Stadium does, just according to my five-second Google search of what the individual stadium capacities are. So it was close, and I looked at it, and I thought, okay, Tennessee, they beat a higher seed in their regional. They beat Clemson. They were the number 4 overall seed. Tennessee plays in a more difficult and more competitive conference. I thought it was a given. NCAA comes out today, says Southern Miss is hosting a super regional. Southern Miss technically was a higher seeded number 2. Fine. It makes sense to me. I think going by seeds and going by, you know, which regional that you were in, and Southern Miss was a higher seeded number 2, that makes sense to me. I do think Tennessee still got screwed. Overall, it's a bigger city. There's higher opportunity for revenue. I think it should have been in Knoxville. I stand by the fact that it should have been in Knoxville. I understand that it was close. Okay. Tennessee fans, I'm on your side. Until I saw the whining on Twitter. Everybody hates us. The NCAA hates us. Everybody hates Tennessee. I get it. You're mad. You want to host a super regional. I understand. I think that Tennessee fans are learning a really, really tough lesson. That when you act like the villain, people will treat you like one. When you act like a bunch of buffoons, Tennessee baseball has acted like buffoons, both their players and their coach. Have acted like total, I don't even know the right word to use that's not going to get me in trouble.
Just use buffoons again.
Buffoons? People are going to look at you and say, oh, you want to flip off the outfielder when you're rounding the bases? You want to put on a fur coat and you're going to wear a daddy hat? Then when bad things happen to you, people are going to cheer for that. And if you're going to be that, embrace it. You wear shirts that say villains. embrace that mentality. I honestly think that's what gives Tennessee baseball an edge in some of these really tight games that mean something. It's that belief in themselves of I'm better than you. Embrace that kind of mentality. Embrace the villainous of it all. And if you want to be that, if you want to embrace that, then embrace that wholeheartedly. Don't come crying to me when you don't like it, that people don't like you. When people start to treat you like the villain and you cry about it. You got cheated. You did. But quit boo-hooing about how everyone hates
you. Did you hear that, Caroline's dad?
Yeah, Dad. Don't text me this morning saying the NCAA hates the Vols. This is really where it all started. I love you. Come on. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Appreciate Adam Vingan for sitting in with me today. ESPN Radio is up next.